So we'll have a chabura now. It'll be short, could be won't be short, I'm not sure, but it's more ha'aros than a maracha on daf dalet. So style-wise, it'll be a little different that way, but lengthwise, I wasn't confident it would be shorter, so that's why we didn't do an earlier time. Okay, so daf dalet is basically predominantly the machlokas yesh em lemikra, the discussion about yesh em lemikra, yesh em lemasoras. Whether we focus, when we're darshaning and trying to understand psukim, do we focus on the kri or the ksiv in certain cases when they are, again, not kri or ksiv necessarily, you're late. Not only kri or ksiv in the classical sense when it says one thing and you read it completely differently, obviously, meaning the examples we saw here were, it's the same word just spelled, chaser amale, or not, or doesn't have vowels, so you have a kri and a ksiv in that way. So yeshem l'masor, so yeshem l'mikros. The Gemara has a machlokas about this. Tosis has an important line over here. Anyone have a shas? Anyone have a Gemara kedushin? Tosis here and the Masechta have a amadaf here, dalet amadaf in Dibur Masechta Kulu have an important ha'ara. Tosis say, thank you. V'nir the dafka hacha, long tosis, but this is the salient point. V'nir the dafka hacha shem mikra u'masoras mach shi'adadi islu yeshen mikra. In this instance, or in instances where the kli and the ksiv, the writing and the reading, the pronunciation, are so sir each other, they're not in confluence, but rather go against each other, they're opposing. So then you have to choose. You darshan yesh aim lemikra or you darshan yesh aim lemasoras. I think that Rabbi Yosef Engel has an essay about why it's yesh aim. You saw, you know this? Yesh aim lemikra and not yesh av lemikra. Like, why do we focus on the mother? It's very important for these times to answer these types of questions. So I think he has a focus on why sometimes we say the aim, yesh aim lemikra, yesh aim lemasoras, but then you have like avos and toldos, not imahos and toldos. When is it feminine? When is it the opposite of feminine? That's somewhere in Besa Otzer. Could I look up on your own time? So Yesh Aim Lamasoras, Yesh Aim Lamikra is a machlogas when the two pshatim go against each other, but when they're in, when they could work together, when you could have one word that could be both. So then Taisa say, Hechad lo machshua dadi, when they're not opposing each other, darshi tarvai, you can darshan both them. Okay, so dafka when the mikra and masoras are against each other, then you have a machlokas Yesh Aim Lamikra, Yesh Aim Lamasoras. But when they are, they can work together in harmony, so then you don't have such a machlokas. Rashi in Kedushin on Yud Ches Amud Beis says the same thing. I just don't remember what the Dibur Maskil is. Somewhere. One second. Yeshan Megum Masoras. Yeah. Rashi in Kedushin Yud Ches Amud Beis 18b, the Dibur Maskil is Yesh Aim LeMikra Ula Masoras. Hilkach Darsh Tarbayu Vim Tomer Hadam B'Sanhedrin Gabei Pasukos 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 Lebshem Yesh Aim LeMikra B'Hasan Deleika LeMeimra Mikra Masoras. The Isa Lahai Leisa Lahai, they're against each other, so you can't say Yesh Aim LeMikra and LeMasoras. Im Sholosh Defanos Hechsharta Lo Sidrash Mikra Vim Tifsol Lo Sidrash Masoras. Abal Kan Yesh L'Kayim Shneim. If you have an instance where you can be Mekayim both the Mikra and the Masoras, so then both are relevant. Which, again, this is Mistabritas. We'll talk about it, maybe a Svara one way or the other soon, but it's Mistabritas. Both, it's written and it's pronounced. And the Torah is Nitzchias in terms of its Havana and in terms of what it's trying to telegraph to us. So it's Mistabrit that both are meaningful. So the guy who says Yesh Aim LeMikra doesn't not care about Yesh Aim LeMasoras. He thinks they're both relevant if you could fit both in. The question is, when they can't both be fit into the pshat, the question is, which one do you focus on? Fine. Now, the following ha'ara, the kashan, what the Rishonim have here, you'll see on your own, but the following ha'ara I got from the Sefer Nimas Netzach. So he has an interesting beer over here. See if we could say it over clearly or not. He says maybe there's a machlokas Rishonim on our daf in terms of how we, in terms of whether we really hold this way, that you can darshan both or when you darshan both. Or when you only darshan one or the other. Yeshim and Mikra, Yeshim and Masoras. The end of Amud Aleph here on Daf Dalid. So the Gemara says, Maskil Racha Bredev Ik Bar Rak Maskif Lar of Acha Bar Yaakov. Mi'ikud leis le yeshim lemikra, is there really a man da'amar that doesn't hold of yeshim lemikra? Ba'atanya b'chalev imo. We know the pasuk says, los vashvili b'chalev imo. Yachol b'chalev. Amar de yeshim lemikra. We pronounce it chalev, which means chalav, like milk. So Rashi explains, and we'll come back to this hopefully soon, Rashi explains, b'chalev imo, in the Havamina, that there's such a man da'amar, it's not really Havamina, but in the rejection of the possibility, the impossibility, that there should be a man da'amar who only darshans the masores. Masores means the written. So then when it says, b'chalev imo, yachol b'chalev imo, avo b'chalev mutter l'bashel, meaning if you had a man da'amar who only darshans masores, only darshans the ksiv, if you had such a man da'amar, it would come out, according to Rashi, that you only have chalev, not chalav. Chalev, ksiv, chalav, kri, and you only have ksiv, then you only have chalev. That's what Rashi says. The Havamina, okay, kamashmalan, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a man da'amar. Rather, there's yeshem lemikra. Fine. The Ran quotes this Rashi, in the Chiddush HaRan, if you have the Mosad Rav Kook, page Lamed Beis. So the Chiddush HaRan quotes this Rashi, and it says, the hikshu alav, they asked on him. The footnote points out that the Ran is quoting the Chamer B'chai. I don't know who the Ran is quoting, but the Hikshu Alav, which it says Kain Hikshu Chamer B'chai, Shehari Af Lefi Hamasores Efshar Likros Chelev. Sorry, let's say it like this: the Hikshu Alav, they ask on Rashi, Shehari Af Lefi Hamasores, even according to the way it's written, the way it's Ksiv, Efshar Likros Cheslamet Beis Kimo Chala V'Lama Ekra Chelev Lo Chala. This question is very fundamental. We'll try to come back to it, Bleenether. But basically what the Ran is asking, or saying that people asked on Rashi, is Rashi says the man da'amar who, if there were a man da'amar who only holds aviation in the Masores, and he saw the word b'chalev imo, ches lamed beis would be chalev, not chalav. It would be exclusively chalev. That's what Rashi told us in Dibur Maskil, whatever. Dibur Maskil b'chalev imo. So the Ran says, why? If you have the word ches lamed beis, it could be chalav or chalev. In terms of the way it's written as either one. Pronounced, I understand, it's chalev is chalav, it's the smichas of chalav. But in terms of the way it's written, it could go either way. Lefichach, says the Ran, you could say it differently, perish, yachol bechalev imo l'rabos aser aflam b'vashal bechalev, v'lo l'hotzi aser b'vashal ha'chalav, ela shiavo shneim. The Ran says it means differently. It means that the man da'amar who would have said yeshin l'masores is not coming to say exclusively what is written chalev, rather the man da'amar masores, meaning ksiv, would be saying, in addition to the fact that it says chalev imo, which means chalev, it also would mean chalev. V'al zeh heshiv, on this the Gemara answers, amar the yeshin l'mikra, lomar she'ein lanu el ha'mikra b'vat. The answer comes and pushes back and says, no, it's the way we go by the way it's pronounced. So what you have over here is Rashi said, when you had a mandamar yeshim l'masores, it meant chalev. And the Ran is saying, when you had a mandamar yeshim l'masores, the way it's written, you have both chalev and chalav. Chalev and chalav. So what the Nimos Netzach, or the way we fondly refer to him in this base medrash, the Baal Nimos, so what he has a har over here, he says that according to the Ran, it seems that even in this instance where they're not soser ahadadi, these two shatim, chalev and chalav, are not soser adadi, even so, you have a man damar yeshim l'masores and a man damar yeshim l'mikra. The Gemara is handling yeshim l'masores, yeshim l'mikra, even within the possibility that you could fit both pshatim in, because it could mean chalev and chalev within masores. You still have a man damar yeshim l'masores, yeshim l'mikra. Rashi thinks like Tosus, as we saw Rashi l'shitasa in Kiddushin. Rashi thinks like Tosus that no, if the two pshatim are able to both be fit into the pasuk, so then you can't have a mandam reyeshim masoras yeshim lemikra. It must be that the two pshatim are soser each other, meaning you can't have an instance where one of the mandamers will say both are included in this pshat. Because then there's no mandam reyeshim masoras yeshim lemikra. Just everyone holds yeshim masoras ulemikra. Elamai, Rashi says, you see the Gemara is handling, there's a yeshim masoras mandamer, there's a yeshim lemikra mandamer. It must be that they're mutually exclusive. Which means that it must be that when you say yeshim masoras, you mean exclusively chelev and not chalav. The Ran thinks, no, even when the two pshatim are not mutually exclusive, you could have two mandamers, because apparently he doesn't have this chiluk between when they go together and when they don't get together. He thinks there's always a machlokas, yeshim l'masor, yeshim l'mikra. But Rashi thinks there's only such a machlokas when the two pshatim are exclusive, which is why Rashi interprets this stage in the Shakal Tarya as exclusively about chilev within the mandamer yeshim l'masores.
Not to make the machlokas so spread that he still would answer Tosfos Kashas from the Gemaras and in Krisos before that. Maybe that's only where the Kri and Siv are actually spelled differently, that then I could darshan both according to everybody, but the Ram would say the Chalav and Chalav. It's the same word.
Maybe, but we have other, like Sukkos, 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 Sukkos.
Yeah,
oh, even that spelled differently.
Yeah, that's differently. Every game
this is extremely unique.
To darshan both. Rashi would say, I can't darshan both here on Chelev and Cholev because it's spelled exactly the same. The Ram says, no, here too, since they're two limudim, let's say over two limudim, that aren't so to each other. But the Ram's maskim to the Mahalas.
But this is just a standout case where it's spelled the same.
Because it's spelled the same, then Rashi's going to come to say that.
No, Rashi for sure holds like those. You're saying then the Ram can say.
The Ram holds the concept because then you have so many kashas from all the Gemara's Tosfos.
Dafka here where they're both going to fit into the spelling, which is what the Ram says. That's his kasha on Rashi, is that the spelling doesn't exclude either pshat.
So that's
right.
Where Rashi will come in. You only could say, I could darshan both when there are two Sukkim here to darshan. There aren't two Sukkim because it's the same word.
I hear that. It's not such a big machlokas. It's machlokas within Chalav and Chelev.
Otherwise, what's the Ram going to say about the Gemara's
and Tosfos? Right. Yeah, what do you have in mind? What do you want to... You're upset about the Yesh Aim versus Yesh Av? What?
I thought the Rebbe Duran later, after the Maskal Bahara Yiraya, deals with these questions from the other Gemaras, and Taka doesn't say like Tosfos. He comes out with a different explanation for the difference that he wants to say.
Again, Yira Yira would be another unique example of exactly the same spelling. Right?
We talked about all the cases. Right,
okay, anyways, I hear. Maybe. Yeah. Okay, the next Ha'ara. First we'll... Okay. What the Ran asked on Rashi, so we also wondered when we were learning the Gemara. I don't understand. The Rashi interprets that the Manda Amar Yesh Eim Masores looks at the word Ches Lamed Beis Bachalev Himo Ches Lamed Beis and thinks Chalev. Manda Amar Yesh in the Mikra obviously is pronounced Chalev, so it's Chalev, it means milk, right? That's the Machlokas according to Rashi. What you see in Rashi, this is what the Ran asked, is that he thinks that the Pshuto Shal Ksiv, right, not Pshuto Shal, the Pshuto Shal Masores is Chalev, when you have those letters, Ches Lamed Beis. And the Ran asks, why? Mech Tesi. The word Ches Lamed Beis, spelled Ches Lamed Beis, can mean two different things. It can, depending on how it's vocalized, right? It could either be Chalev or Chalev. That's the Ran's Kashan Rashi. So we had the same, we were wondering the same thing. The Ran gives his pushback. The MS, it's a kash on the Gemara also. Maybe at this stage, if the Pshuto Shel Gemara is like Rashi, but on Dalam and Beis at least, the Gemara in this, by right when it gets into Yira Yira, so the Gemara says, Lahani Mili Ki Pligi, Hecha Deshani Kra Mi Masores. When do they argue? When the Torah changes the Ksiv, changes the pronunciation from the Ksiv. Aval Hai, Chelev V'Chalav, Dechi Hadadin Inu, then Yesh Eim LaMikra. Meaning the Gemara is assuming that there's a Yesh Eim LaMikra of Chalav, and the Yesh Eim LaMasores, very clearly in the Gemara here, without Rashi even, the Masores, the simple Pshat the Masores, whatever you say about the Shakotari on Dalam and Aleph, the simple Pshat the Masores is Chelev. So what the Ran asked on Rashi, he asked the same question in the Gemara. Why is it that when the Gemara sees the word Chelev, Ches Lamed Beis, I should say, when the Gemara sees the word Ches Lamed Beis in the context of B'chalev Imo, the Pshuto Shel Ksiv is Chelev. The Pshuto Shel Mikra, we understand. Mikra means pronunciation. It's pronounced Chalev, Chalev. But why is the Pshuto Shel Masores Chelev? Like, why? Again, like, I don't know if this is a right way to ask the question, but ask it a little differently. Maybe there's no Masores and Mikra here. Maybe the Masores is Chalev. And it goes in line with the Mikra. Like, what is it about the word Ches Lamed Beis that makes you think that it's Chelev? Do you hear the question? It's in the Gemara. It's not in Rashi. You hear the question already? I don't understand. What's the Gemara struggling with? Why is there Mandamers here? Okay, so, three Mahalchim, Maisa. So, the Margolius Yam has two Terutzim over here. The first one, give credit where credit is due, is not, the first place I saw it was not in the Margolius Yam. My Chavrusa, Rabbi Scott Hoberman, suggested this pshat in the Gemara. Very, very good pshat. Then I saw that the Margolius Yam has it from the Sefer Chazos Kasha. Chazus Kasha. So the Chazus Kasha says like this, and Rabbi Hoberman said the same thing. Why does the Gemara assume that the Pshuto Shel Ksiv of the Masores of Ches Lamed Beis is Chelev? Because it's a Havamin and Svara. Because we know that Chelev is Aser. When the Torah says Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Chalei Vimo, it's telling you that something's Aser to do. You can't cook meat with something. Is it mistaber to think the Torah is telling you don't cook meat and milk? No, meat is mutter and milk is mutter. Like the Gemara says, the Gemara Kulin says, Basbar Chalav is Chiddush, right? It's a big Chiddush. You would have thought two mutter things come together, they're mutter, right? Why are they Aser? Two mutter things come together, it's mutter. So with the Chiddush Akra, we're going to learn is Basbar Chalav is Aser. Okay, fine, but if I saw I saw the words in front of me, Lo Sivashel Gdi Be Cheslam Beis Imo, I wouldn't think that it means, oh, don't cook milk and meat. That doesn't make any sense, don't cook milk and meat. It must mean don't cook Chalav and meat. You can't cook Chalav with meat. That's an Isser. What do you mean? You already know Chelev Zasser, so what's the Torah adding? So you don't have to think that far, but if you do want to think that far, so either the Torah is adding that even cooking is Zasser, or the right, not just eating Chelev, that's obviously Zasser, but or the Torah is giving you a Pasuk for, you know, time Ke'ikar, I don't know. The Torah is telling you that now that you cook Chelev with Basar, you can't even eat the Basar when you're removed from the Chelev, whatever, you would have found something the Torah is answering over here. But the point is, it's less mechudash in svara, in logic, to assume the pasuk is referring to chalav, not chalav. That's the first possibility. Okay, the mikra tells you it's chalav. But if you were just reading the words that are in nekudos, what would you assume? You'd assume chalav, because why would it be asur to cook milk and meat? That makes no sense. That's one answer. Very good answer. That's Rabbi Hoberman's answer. That's the chazus kasha. The second answer that the Magal Arsam quotes is also gishmak, very gishmak. He quotes from the Sefer Or Boker. The Sefer Or HaBoker has an interesting pshat. Why do we assume that the Pshuto Shel Ksiv Namasoris is Chelev? Because in at least two of the contexts, the place where the Torah mentions it is interesting. In the Pasuk and Parshas Mishpatim, I think, the Pasuk says, V'lo yalin Chelev Chagi Ad Boker. Don't leave over the Chelev of the Karban until the morning. Smichus, right after that, in Psukim, it says, Lo Sevashek Li B'Chalei Vima. So, says the Sefer Or HaBoker, when you're reading the Psukim, you think, oh, we're talking about Karbanos, we're talking about Lo Yalin Chelev Chagi, and then the Torah says, Lo Sevashek Li B'Chalei Vima. What's Chalev referring to? Ches Lamed Beis. Oh, you would look back and say, oh, it's probably the same Chelev that was a Pasuk ago, so you assume Chelev. Same thing the second time it comes up in the Torah, Lo Yalin Levoker Zevach Chag HaPesach. Same thing, Lo Yalin, the Karban of the Chag HaPesach, and then immediately thereafter, Lo Sevashel Gdi B'Chalei Vimo, says the Sefer Or HaBoker and the Magal Arsam Yam, maybe the Pshuto Shel Dvarim is, if you read the Psukim, the Smichas tells you that just like it was talking about Chelev until now in the Psukim, so when the Pasuk says Be Ches Lamed Beis Imo, it also means Chelev. Gishmak, no? Two Gishmak of Pshatim. Okay. That's what the Magal Arsam Yam has, two Pshatim. So we do have two legitimate Pshatim in the Gemara, in case, again, if you're trying to be Yotzei Shal HaShittas right now with Divrei Torah as opposed to food, so you're Yotzei, that's Emes. Those are two good Mahalchim from the Achron. Fine. Efsher, a third Mahalach. The third Mahalach is my own. It's questionable. I don't know if it's the Pshat, but it's at least L'chdudei Ba'alma. It's at least Al-Derech HaChidud. The Torah is sharpening our thinking. Also, I think it's a emes of derech halimut. Like, I think the derech halimut is glad. It's just a question of if it's here. It's also a very tief diak in Rashi, maybe. So I think it's worth sharing, even if it's just al derech achidud. But even if it brings a smile to people's faces, I think it'll have been worth it. Why is it again that the Gemara assumes, listen closely here, you have to follow this, why is it again that the Gemara assumes that when the Pasuk says, Lo Sivashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo, if we didn't have any nekudos, we would read that as Beis Ches Lamed Beis Imo, we would read Ches Lamed Beis as Chelev. Why? Maybe we'd read it as Chalev. How do you know that it's a Pshuto Shel Ksiv, Masores, is Chelev? So if you look, if you take a Bar Ilan and you search on in Tanakh, so you'll find there's only five instances in all of Tanakh, I think, in only five instances in all of Tanakh, where the word Ches Lamed Beis, meaning Chalav, milk, appears Bismichus. Meaning the way we have in our Pasuk, Lo Sevashel Gdi B'Chalev Imo. When do you ever have that? You have the milk of Smichus, right? Smichus, combining two words. B'Chalev Imo. So you'll only find five instances in Tanakh where it says Chalav Bismichus, like hyphenated with something else. Name three instances where that happens, right? Okay, so three of them are our pasuk, right? So there's really only three altogether. Three of Lo Sevashel Gdi B'Chalei Vimo, which appears three times in the Torah, and two more. What are the other two? The pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Lamed Beis Yudalet, says Chemas Bakar v'Chalev Tzon im Chelev Karim. Chemas Bakar, butter, v'Chalev Tzon, which we assume means Chalev. It's punctuated that way, so it means the milk of Tzon. That's one time Smichas Chalev. Second one is in Yeshaya in Perek Samech, V'Yonakta Chalev Goyim. Chalev, Yanakta is Yonek, so obviously it's referring to milk, and again, it's punctuated that way. So, V'Yonakta Chalev Goyim. In every other instance in Tanakh, when you find Ches Lamed Beis Bismichus, it's always Chalev. It's always referring to Chalev, either literally fats, or Chalev like the way Vayachileu Chalev Chito Tzur D'Vash Asbiaka, meaning Chalev, meaning the best of. Chalev Haaretz, the best of, not, you know, the finest of. So whenever you see Ches Lamed Beis Bismichus, in 95% of the time, 99% of the time, it's Chalev. Once in a while, you have five instances, which is really three instances, where it's Chalev. Even in Parshas Hazinu, Hevi Odei, even in Parshas Hazinu, if you look at the Ibn Ezra, so the Ibn Ezra there says that Lulei HaKabbalah, if not for the fact that Chazal understood the pasuk of Chalev Tzon to mean milk, which it obviously means because of the Mikra, because the way it's pronounced, he says he would have been mafarish it as Chalev Tzon. He would have been mafarish the word Chalev Tzon as Chalev Tzon, meaning the best of the Tzon. He thinks that's the Pshuto Shel Mikra. So in every instance in Tanakh, except for three, and Ibn Ezra says in some level of Pshuto Shel Mikra, even one of those instances in Tanakh is really not an exception, but part of the rule, the word Ches Lamed Beis, when it's besmichas, when it's connected to another word, Chalev Av, not Chalev Av. You almost never have that. A few rare instances you have that. Our case is one of them. Everyone holding with me so far? And I hope see where I'm going? Okay. If you were reading this pasuk and you didn't know, again, we're pretending we don't know. We know what the pronunciation is. Imagine you didn't know what the pronunciation of the word is. And you saw Ches Lamed Beis. So it's true, you'd be clueless. Ches Lamed Beis could be Chalev, could be Chalev. I have no idea. But what if I saw Ches Lamed Beis Imo, Bismichas? What would my first assumption be? No nekudos, nothing to tell me how to pronounce it. So maybe you look at all of Tanakh, and you see every time this word shows up with a hyphen, every time this word shows up, Bismichas, here it's Ches Lamed Beis Imo, it's Bismichas. So every time it shows up like that, it means Chalev. Are there a few rare exceptions? Yeah, but what's the rule? What's the majority? I would assume it's Ches Lamed Beis meaning Chalev. Without a punctuation, the Pshuto Shel Ksiv would have been that this is Lo Sivash Al Gdi B'Chalev Imo. Hare, that's where how it always shows up in the Psukim. Even if you don't like it, do you hear me so far? Everyone hears me so far? If not, I'll explain before I give you an amazing diak. No, Bismichas, the letters Ches Lamed Beis appear Bismichas in Tanakh many times. Chelev Bakar, Chelev Tzon, they're only, exactly, where it says Chalav. That's a very, very rare thing to have. So if you were just reading with that pronunciation, you would think, oh, Ches Lamed Beis hyphen something else, it's probably Chelev. Good? That's the Mahalach. Listen to this diak. Ah, go to the Rashi in the bottom of Dalam Ralph. Again, it's just for the diak, it's very Yishmak. But says Rashi like this. B'chalev imo. Says Rashi, yachol b'chalev imo. You might think, according to this man, the Amr, that chalev imo means chalev imo, because yeshem l'masores. Aval b'chalev would be mutter l'vashel. Right? That's what you would think, according to the man, the Amr, the Havmin over here would be. B'chalev imo it's aser, but b'chalev it's mutter. Question. Why did Rashi change the way he wrote it over here? He says, "Bachalev imo, yachol dafka bechalev imo." If I was writing Rashi, I would write yachol bechalev imo, aval bechalav imo mutter levashel. Rashi doesn't do that, right? He says, "Yachol bechalev imo, it's aser, aval bechalav it's mutter." Well, why is Rashi first quoting the smichas from the pasuk and then switching to quote only chalav? So ulai, what Rashi is intimating over here, he's being merames over here, exactly this point. The havamina that it's dafka yeshem lemasores, only the way it's written, that's, you know, yachol sheye aser rak bishol basar v'chelev. There, Rashi says, that's because the masores is dafka chelev. How do I know the masores is dafka chelev? Yachol b'chelev imo. It's bismichas. So maybe it's dafka b'chelev imo. If you're reading the masores, Chalev imo, obviously it's chalev, because that's how always it's written. When it's Ches Lamed Beis, it's always bismichas, it's always chalev. That's because it's chalev imo, bismichas. Then Rashi says, aval b'chalev, but chalev, which is usually not written bismichas, usually chalev stands alone. Chalev, that you could be mevashel. So yachal b'chalev imo, aval b'chalev, is mutter. Rashi's maybe being marami is this exact diuk into why we see that the Masoras really refers to Chelev, because it's Chelev imo, it's besmichos. But if it was standalone, if it was Chalev, that's a separate Indian entirely. So you hear Rashi's potentially the diuk in Rashi. Again, the diuk in Rashi, I think, is the diuk. The Mahalach, it's a Mahalach. I don't know if it's the Pshutim Shel Dvarim or the Chedut Ba'ama, but it's a Mahalach. And it's a Derech in Limud. But if you put the two together, it's Mamish Glot. It's Mamish Glot. That what Rashi's intimating, what Rashi's telegraphing to us over here, is that when the Pasuk says Ches Lamed Beis Imo, the implication that you would assume without any vowels whatsoever is Chelev Imo. Yachol B'Chelev Imo. You wouldn't assume Chalav, because that rarely appears B'Smichas. And that's what Rashi says, Yachol B'Chelev Imo, Aval B'Chalav, not Imo, Moter Levasha. Any questions? People heard the Malach. You can take it or leave it, but you hear the Malach. Okay. Yeah, Derech Klal, more off the daf right now for a second. This concept of Masoros Mikra, Kriyu Chsiv. So just the Ha'ara in terms of the Hagdara of Kriyu Chsiv, and maybe just a very light Ha'ara. Derech Efsher and Tosfos. So the Gemara in Nedarim, this concept of Kriyuk Siv is so funny. The Gemara in Nedarim in Lam Zayin Amud Beis says as follows: Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Mikra Sofrim VeItir Sofrim VeKriyan VeLo Ksivan VeKsivan VeLo Kriyan Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So the Gemara says that these instances where the Torah has like variations on the words and the pronunciations, those are all Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. The Gemara actually says Kriyan VeLo Ksivan, meaning you read them but they're not written, or Ksivan VeLo Kriyan. They're written, but you don't read them. Those are halachah l'moshe m'sinai. But the Rishonim say that the kavan of the Gemara is also to, the Rashba says this and others say this, is also to kriyu chsiv, the way we classically have it. The pasuk says nun ayin resh, and you say na'ara. The pasuk says yud shin gimel lamin nun hey, and you say yishkivena. Those are kriyu chsiv, where it's ksiv one way and kri another way. That's also halachah l'moshe m'sinai. Yeah, but this is a big tzarchi in terms of Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. How could it be that you could have a concept of Kriyuch Siv, something's written one way and you read it a different way? The issue is that the Psak Halach in Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam has it in Hilchos Tefillah, Yud Beis, the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim, Kuf Lamed Tes Gimel, you can't read, you have to read Mitoch HaKsav, you can't read Baal Peh. You see this sometimes by Bali Kriya, for sure Bar Mitzvah boys. Those last few words in the Torah, they're always like, the Bar Mitzvah boy is usually like halfway drinking his water bottle. He suddenly needs water, and the kid has talked for the last 12 years of his life, and suddenly needs water between every aliyah. Okay, but as he's finishing his aliyah, he's drinking from his water bottle, saying the last words, you know, not looking inside. And even more experienced Bali Kriya do this all the time, where they don't always look exactly inside, which is why you have funny mistakes sometimes. You sometimes hear someone make a mistake, and you wonder how could he have just made that mistake. The word is not written there. He sometimes, but it's similar to something in a different pasuk in a different parsha, and he just reads it Baal Peh. So it means he's not really reading from the words. It's a problem. But either way, in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch passage, you're supposed to read Mitoch HaKsav, obviously. So how do you have a Kriyuch Siv? The Pasuk says, Yud Shin Gimel Lamed Nun Hey, and you're saying Yishkevena. So you're not reading from the Ksav. Big problem, right? So they ask this to the Rashba. The Rashba in Shuvas in Chilak Zayin, Simen Shin Samach Aleph, the Beis Yosef quotes this. So in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, not in the same place I quoted from before, in Simen Kuf Mem Aleph, Beis Yosef quotes this Rashba. So the Rashba in Tshuva was asked this question, and he gave an answer, but the answer doesn't give you much. He says, Tshuva, Zeh halach l'mishim yisinai, k'mosh amr ben adar, mikra sov, mitra sov, k'rim lo k'sivan, k'sivan lo k'riyan, halach l'mishim yisinai. Shkayech. Meaning, it's a problem. How do you read Baal Peh? No, halach l'mishim yisinai addresses that problem. How does halach l'mishim yisinai address the problem? How does halach l'mishim yisinai tell you that you're allowed to read a kriyuch siv differently than the way it's written, and that's not an issue of being kori min atar Baal Peh? Agav, what's the issue with Kriyas HaTorah Baal Peh, not reading from inside? Where did the Shulchan Aruch get that from? What's the problem with reading the Leining Baal Peh? So on that Rambam I mentioned before, the Kesef Mishnah suggests it's Dvarim Shebichsav Yeta Rashai Lomram Baal Peh. It's just the regular Isser of... it's interesting, it's not Kriyas HaTorah Dik. Right? It's not a Pagam in Kriyas HaTorah, it's an Isser. I don't know what that means in terms of being Yotze or not Yotze. That's an interesting Ha'ara.
It's not a kasha just on Kriyas Torah. It's a kasha on any... If you say a person doing Shnei Mikra,
he shouldn't be doing anything aloud. Baal Peh. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So therefore, the Kriyas Siv issue is an issue also for all your Shnei Mikra.
Sure. Maybe. So he says the Kriya Baal Peh is an issue of Dvaram Shemichsavi Tarashayi Lomar Peh. I thought, Al Derech, the Mishnah in Megillah Yedzayin, the Mishnah says that Kriyas Megillah needs Kriya Mitoch HaKsav. There's some sort of obvious Kavachomer or something from Kriyas HaTorah? I don't know if it's Kavachomer or just, you know, Gufa, that there's the same point. The same way you can't read a Megillah Baal Peh, you certainly can't read a Torah Baal Peh. I'm not sure. The Or Zeruah has such a Deya, I found after in the Or Zeruah in Hilchos Shleach Tzibur Simen Kuftas Zayin. I have to look it up. I haven't looked up in a while, but I saw that. But I don't know. A lot of, not sure how many people talk about that. Anyways, interesting question. Okay, so you can't read Baal Peh, says the Rashba. Yeah, don't worry. What's the pshat? You're reading Baal Peh. So in terms of in the Oimek Kavanaso, so Vikvodo Kavana and Kavod. So what's the pshat in the Rashba? What's he trying to say when he says Halachol Moshe Misinai by Kriyuch Siv? So Yesh Lachor, there's really two ways, I think, to say it. The first is Pasha. It's true. Halacha Pshuta, we hold, that it's usher to read from the Torah Baal Peh. You can't have laning Baal Peh. Here, Halacha Moshe Misinai came and said, okay, but this is an exception. In this one instance, you're allowed to read the Torah Baal Peh. Usually you have to read from the Ksav. In this one instance, you can read Baal Peh. That's one possibility. The second possibility, deeper, more lamdish, is you could say it differently. You could say no. What Halacha Moshe Misinai comes and says is that this word that's written, Yud, Shin, Gimel, Lam, Bet, Nun, Hey, its pronunciation is Yishkevena. This word that's written, Nun, Ayin, Resh, its pronunciation is Nara. You're not reading Baal Peh. Or, in the word, the famous words of the Great Gaon, is it that you don't need Kriya Menachsav? Or, you already have Kriya Menachsav? The first opinion, the first way to say this Sada Chakira is that, yeah, usually you need to read from the words. Elamai, halacha moshe misinai. In this case, an exception, you don't need to read from the words. The second way to say it is, no, you always need to read the words inside. Elamai, halacha moshe misinai comes and says, this is also considered reading the words inside. Because the word, yud shin gimel, lamed nun hey, is pronounced yishkevena. Half-baked thought, I never finished this thought, but there's a machlokas in the Mefarshei Tanakh. What's the pshat in all kriyuch sivs? The Malbim has the, and the Maral follows, has the firmest pshat, which is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his Nevi'im, or his Nevi'im in Nevi'im, are trying to give over to us multiple levels of meaning in the words. So there's a kri and a ksiv. Sometimes just a kri couldn't contain all the levels of interpretation. Sometimes a ksiv couldn't contain all of it. So you have a kri and a ksiv in some cases. So it's giving you over that there's more meaning packed into this. There's a kri and a ksiv. The other approach is in the Mefarshei Tanakh is that there were different girsos in our texts. And the kri and ksiv are like two options. Different nuanced ways of saying it if you're the Abarbanel, if you're the Radak, but that's another approach. So I just thought, this Chakira, I don't know if it's Talu Habha, but it's very difficult to say the Pshat, that this is the pronunciation of, you know, it says one thing and you read it a different way, that is the pronunciation. It's hard to say that if you think it's a Girsa change. But if you think that there's levels of meaning that are here, and the Torah is trying to convey two levels of meaning, so it gives you an Kriya and a Ksiv, so then maybe you have room to say such a thing, that it's the Kriya of the Ksiv in front of you.
Yeah.
Like the, I'm not sure. I think that's a kasha they ask. I'm just not sure what the answer is. Okay. Everyone good so far on the Chakira? Fine, that's the Chakira. So in terms of that Chakira, so there are mashmoyos in the poskim. The Mechaber in Or Chaim Kuf Mem Aleph Ches says this din called Teba Shehi Kriyuch Siv Halacha Moshe Misinai, that you write it one way and you read it the other way. Says the Magen Avraham there in Sifkat and Tess that Af Al Pi Shekori Baal Peh Shari. What does that sound like? The first tzad. That, yeah, usually you need to read the Torah from the Torah. In this instance of Kriyuch Siv, there's an exception. You can read it Baal Peh in this instance. That's what the Magen Avraham says, Torah black on white over here. Mishnah Berurah follows suit. what would come out is that even though we mentioned before, a person can't look up when they're reading from the Torah, they have to read from inside. But let's say they were reading Yud Shin Gimel Lamed Nun Hey, and they were reading Yishkevena, maybe they could look at the crowd and see if they're getting Hana from the Kriyas Torah during that word, because you don't really have to read it inside. So you could fake look inside and look at the Yud Shin Gimel Lamed Nun Hey, but you're not really accomplishing much by looking inside, because you're really reading Baal Peh anyways. So it sounds like you could read those words Baal Peh. Ephraim Vizam Margolius and the Shire Ephraim, he seems like he disagrees. It could be he only disagrees lechatchila, but it seems he disagrees, and he thinks no, a person does have to look inside, even when they're reading a kriyuch sev, you have to look inside. And lechora, he's assuming, the Shai Ephraim is assuming that this is because no, even a kriyuch sev, it's not that you're allowed to read baal peh in those instances. It's that the halachah Moshe Misinai says that this is the kri, the pronunciation of this ksiv, of these words. So you have to look inside because you're reading that word. Elamai, Yud Shid Gimel Lamed Nun Hey has this quirk of a din that it's pronounced Yishkevena. So you have to look inside when you're reading it. It's the same as every other word. There's another nafkamina the Prima Gadim declares in Eshal Avram there. What if you have wax that fell on the ksava of a Sefer Torah? So if wax fell on, I don't know, whatever, Bereshis in Bereshis Bara, so the Sefer Torah is not possible because the word still exists underneath. You have to remove the wax. You have to get the wax off. The Sefer Torah is not possible. Let's say it's Shabbos, so you can't scratch off the wax. So you have to return the Sefer Torah and you have to lean from a different one. Why? Because you can't say Bereshis, even though you know Bereshis is there. You can't say Baal Peh. You have to read it inside. Aye, there's wax and it's covering up, so you can't say it. Fine. Or let's say some of the screen from the silk screen was still remained on the, right? That would be another practical example for you. So you wouldn't be able to read the word inside, so you'd have to return it. Says the Prima Gadim, what about if it fell on a Kriyuch Siv? What if wax fell on Na'ar? Nun Ayin Resh, pronounced Na'ara. Can you still read from that Torah? So if the din is that, you're allowed to read Baal Peh, so what's the difference? If the din is that, no, you have to read inside with this new pronunciation, no, you still need to get a different Sefer Torah because you can't read from inside. Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein has tshuvas about this. In at least three places, he has tshuvas about this. In Igros Moshe Or HaChaim Chelek Aleph Simen Lamed Beis, in Anav Vav, so Rav Moshe assumes like the more Lamedish of Pshat. He assumes that the Kri is the Tzuras HaKriya of the Ksiv. Meaning it's a quirk of a din. In this instance, you have a word that's pronounced funny. It's a funny pronunciation. But it's a pronunciation of the word as it's written there. It's not, you're not allowed to read Baal Peh. It's that you're not reading Baal Peh. You're reading that word through what Chazal told us is the way to pronounce that word. And he says, if wax would fall, Kasha, I don't know what the Pshat is, but Rav Moshe has three tshuvas about this. He talks about the question of wax falling. He never quotes the Prima Gadim. I don't know what the Pshat is. But he doesn't quote the Prima Gadim even once. But he says this nafkamina also, Al Tevas Yishkelena, that the wax falls in it, Nami Yisarech Lahotzi Acheris, so you'll have to bring out a second Sefer Torah, Mishim Sheba Halacha Nemar, Shetevas Yishkelena, Bekan, Yikra, Yikare, it's going to be read, Yishkevena. Veloshi Yikra Tevas Yishkevena Baal Peh, you can't read it Baal Peh. So you need to take out a new Sefer Torah in that case. He says it again in Chilag Gimel, and in Chilag Dalet of Orach Chaim. All those cases, he doubles down on this. He quotes the Magen Avraham in the Mishnah Berura, and he says they're so hard to read that you don't have to deal with them. Like they don't make any sense. Whatever. He thinks he's right. So he thinks you're really reading the word, not Baal Peh. You're reading the word pronounced in a different way. Rav Velvel disagreed with this. Rav Velvel Soloveitchik in the Chiddush Agriz Al Torah in Parshas Va'eschanan, he disagreed with Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe actually quotes this in one of his tshuvas. But the pasuk says, Hashem Elokim Ata Hachilosa, right? Hashem Elokim. How is Hashem Elokim written? Anyone remember? It's written Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Hashem. Elokim is written Yud Kei Vav Kei with a segel underneath, like you have in Navi a lot of times. Yud Kei Vav Kei, but it's pronounced Elokim. So it's Hashem Elokim, but it's the Hashem is not really Hashem, it's Adnus. And the Elokim is not really Elokim, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. So what's the pshat in that pasuk? So Rashi says, Hashem Elokim Rachum Bedin. What's Rashi interpreting it as? Hashem is Rachum, Elokim is Din. So Rachum Bedin, meaning he's interpreting that first word as Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the second word as Elokim. So the Ramban asks the Kasha, what do you mean? It's not written that way. The Ramban says, right, it says Aleph Dalet is the first word, and Yud Kei is the second word. That means Aleph Dalet is its own thing, master, he's the master of the world. Yud Kei in that second word is not, it's not written Elokim, it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Rachum. So why is Rashi saying Racham on the Adnus and Din on the Elokim, which is really Yud Kei Vav Kei? It's all mixed up according to Rashi. So Rav Velvel says, he says this pshat. He says, when you have a kriyuch siv, the pshat is not that you have a kriya of the ksiv. If you will, he says the less lam nishbar. He says the pshat is that there's a ksiv in front of you and you ignore the ksiv and you say a kri. Chazal tell us that we're supposed to pronounce this differently, not because it's the same word but it's pronounced differently, but they give you an alternative word entirely. And basically, like the Magen Avraham told us, you're reading it baal peh, according to the Brisker Rav. So when the Torah says Aleph Dalet Nun Yud and then Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we know it's pronounced Hashem Elokim, says Rashi, Rachum Bedin. Because it's not like the word in front of you is important. What the word that you really, really read is the Kri. And so any Mikro, Kri Uksiv, says Revelvel, is a case of a substitute word, a substitute pronunciation for a word that's not even written in the Torah. Revelvel says there's one exception to this rule. This is not in the writing on the Torah. It's in his Chidushim in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Very gishmak ha-shtikl. Nagei to things we'll hopefully do the second half of the year in Sanhedrin. But he says the word Yud Kei Vav Kei being pronounced Adnus, right? Aleph Dal Nun Yud is the pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's an exception. That's actually the pronunciation. That's the kriya of the ksiv of Yud Kei Vav Kei. We'll talk about that another time, but that's the one. That's the one exception. But generally speaking, kriya ksiv is a new pronunciation for a word that's not even in front of you. Oh. Based on that, one would think that Revelvel would have an afkamina, right? Meaning, if you were in Brisk and they were learning from the Torah, and the guy was up to Yudshin Gimel Laminun Hey, he would be allowed to look up and get a geshmak out of the Hana, the Olam's Chapping Hana from his Kriyas Torah. He'd get a geshmak because he could look up, he could read Yishkevena Baal Peh. No problem. Or if Revelvel took out the Torah on a brisker kula. If Revelvel took out the Sefer Torah on Shabbos day and it had some wax that fell on the word Nun Ayin Resh, which is pronounced Nara, Revelvel would say, no problem. I have a brisker kula over here and you could read it Baal Peh. Right? Sounds like that would be the Nafkamina. Reb Maisha says, no way. He says, yeah, Revelvel has a Svara in Lam, this is true. Says Reb Maisha, Aval Efshar She'en Kavanasu Al Lashema Ba'alma. Reb Maisha says, I'm so right that even the Brisker Rav probably just meant maybe you could say differently. But he probably really agreed. Akapanim Eich She'yeh Hanachim Kedekasavti. The Brisker Rav for sure agrees to me. And he wouldn't paskin differently. He wouldn't paskin differently. He would assume that obviously you have to read from inside. There's no such thing as reading from outside, even though he assumed a different lumdus. So Reb Maisha says that Revelvel would have disagreed. In Lamdas, he wouldn't have agreed to Reb Maisha. So maybe Reb Maisha is right, maybe he's wrong. They have from Reb Meir Soloveitchik Shirim that he gave on the Parsha. I forgot, Mishnas Reb Meir Alevi or something like that. Rabbeinu Meir Alevi or something like that. So in there, in the Sefer Shmos, they have from Reb Meir Soloveitchik, he has the Shtikl Torah from his father, and he says Bipshitus, that halach l'maisa, based on what his father said, the Brisker Rav, so if you had a kriya uchsiv, there is no din of kriya minaksav, and that you could read Baal Peh. Not like Reb Maisha. Meaning Reb Maisha agreed that Revelvel said like that in Lamdas, but thought that Revelvel would agree to him in halacha. Reb Meir Soloveitchik held Bipshitus, that his father disagreed in Lamdas, and therefore would disagree in halacha. So, I don't know, you have from the son, Mestama was Mekabel from his father, not like Reb Maisha, which makes sense. Let's toss so in terms of learning, yeah.
According to the Rambam, the halacha of Mishnah has nothing to do with the actual mikra. Do you have to say
no? That's
the first sad?
No. Halacha of Mishnah can dictate halachos about reading the Torah. Halacha of Mishnah, that Rambam means that when you have halacha of Mishnah, you won't find the smach in the Torah for it, which we know is not even fully. I mean, you'll find it in the smach of Ba'alma, you won't find it in the smach of maybe. But the Torah won't relate to a halacha moshe
m'sinai. Isn't that the difference between the parashah of Kuma and halacha moshe m'sinai? That halacha moshe m'sinai can't tell you how to interpret or how to read a word. No.
No, I thought the pshat. I thought at least the part that you're talking about from the Hakdamah to parashah m'sinai is. I thought that the Rambam is saying that if you have a halacha moshe m'sinai, the Torah won't hint to it. The halacha moshe m'sinai won't relate to psukim in the Torah, but the halacha moshe m'sinai can dictate how to read the Torah, and that's not the same thing. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu didn't believe in the Torah. He believed in the Torah. It's just that whatever, some chiddush din that he gave, you wouldn't find the remez to in the Torah. You wouldn't find the link to that din in the Torah. But his chiddush din could be about the Torah. It should be about the Torah, no? I don't know. I think those are different. That's the Zaydik Indian, just in terms of, you know, off the daf in terms of Kriyuch Siv. The way, or at least Tarsogya, maybe very, very briefly and lightly, again, this is from the Baal Ne'imus, is that potentially what Tosfos say, that the Torah when it has a word that can mean two things, but they can go together, they can jive. So we darshan both, Yeshem Lemikra, Yeshem Lemasores. So he says, maybe that's a little easier to say, according to the Brisker Rav, according to Rav Elvel. Because according to Rav Elvel, what you have is two different words. So if it's two different words, it could mean two different things. And if they go together, then they fit into one word, that's fine. But if you hold like Rav Maisha, so the Kri and the Ksiv are one. The Kri is the way you pronounce the Ksiv. So if you hold the Ksiv and the Kri are two different things entirely, then each one can be darshan separately. And if they fit together, you could darshan two things. But if you hold that the Kri and the Ksiv are one, they're one word, just you look at the word Nun Ayin Resh and it's pronounced Nun Ayin Resh Hey, and it's hard to say that you darshan two different things from that one word because it's all really Nara. It's just Nara is spelled differently in this case. The word is really Yishkevena. It's just spelled Yud Shid Gimel Lamed Nun Hey. His name is Menachem. It's just spelled with a U, right? It's not, nobody thinks that his name is pronounced Menachem, but spelled ridiculously, right? No, you know what I mean. I mean, it's not a separate name in writing than it is in reading. It's Menachem. Either way, it's Menachem. Elamai, he spells it differently. So you're not gonna darshan two things from Menachem. That's why instead they just did twins. So it could be two different things without having from one name. But if you had a case where you had two different things, no, his name, it's written Menachem with a U, which means one thing, and it's pronounced Menachem with a E, which means something else entirely differently. Okay, so they're two different words. You could have two different meanings, darshan from one word. That works better according to Rav Elvel, less so according to Rav Maisha. Just a few more short ha'aras, okay? So if you go down the... skip that. We'll skip one. If you go down the daf to the bottom, so the Gemara has a shakla v'tari over here about the dam b'revius from two mason. So Rabbi Kiva Omer minayin l'revius dam sheyatza mishnei mason shematame ba'olel. I'm going to read it now in an important way, but I'm saying it in a specific way. Rabbi Kiva said that from whence do we know that one revius of dam, which was yotze from two different mason, is metame ba'awel, meaning two different mesim combine the blood into a revius. Shnemar al kol nafshos meis lo yavo. Shtei nefashos al kol nafshos meis, plural, shtei nefashos, v'shir echad meis. V'rabbanan, they push back and say, no, doesn't combine. Why? Nafshas ksiv. It's missing a vav, it's singular. Dafka, if the blood of the revius all comes from one place, is it matami ba'ol? Not if it comes from two different mason and combines. L'chayru, what you see in the Gemara, l'chora, is that you need a pasuk, according to Rabbi Kiva, to teach you that dam, chatzi revius dam from one mace, and a chatzi revius dam from another mace combines into one revius dam. L'chayru, that's the Yisrael Mekiva, that he has a drasha. I'll call nafshos mace. Oh, two nefashos in one mace. So if you have two different nefashos that combine into one shear of misa, that's enough to be mitame ba'al. But without the pasuk, it sounds like from Mekiva, you wouldn't have known that. Tosus is bothered by that, right? Tosus on Tumer Maskel Minayin L'Revius Dam, they're bothered by that. Lamali Kra. Tu'ul Chatzei Zesim. So again, you could ask, everywhere in the Torah we know two things that are alike combine into a shear. Chatzi Kazayis Nevela and Chatzi Kazayis Nevela. Chatzi Kazayis Trefa, Chatzi Kazayis Trefa. Okay, at least those are Pashat that they combine, and in other cases also, two Shirim they combine into one. Why not? 2 + 2 = 4. So, but additionally, Tosas say, if you look in Tumas Ohel itself, just look in the Halachos of Tumas, so Shtei Chatzei Zesei Basar are Mitzdariv, to be one Kazayis of Basar. So why would Dam be different? So he does give a Shtikl Torah why Dam might be different, but at a different stage in Tosas they say, maybe Ena Hanami, they read the Gemara differently. I'll read. The ibe meis echad near the end. The ibe meis echad hayatame hu adin b'shnei meisim ilek amiyuta and echanami pasha. That once you know that by meis echad, if you have a revius of dam, it's metami ba'ol. It's pasha that if you had two half reviuses of dam by two different meisim, of course it would be mitzdarif elamai unless you have a miut. V'hadim atayir abanan the pligar bikiva is because they have a miut of nafshas and not nafashos or nafshos. That's what Tosfos are saying. That's very difficult in the Gemara, right? At least the way we have the Gemara, that's very difficult, correct? Because the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva says, Minayin, that two half revius is combined to one Tomas Mace Ba'ohel. And he has a pasuk, Nafshos in plural, Mace, singular, two halves combined to one. So it sounds Mefurish in our Gemara that Rabbi Kiva is learning this din. It's not obvious, and the Rabbanim are just arguing. No, it's not obvious to Rabbi Kiva. He has to learn it from a pasuk. So that's a hard answer. It's a hard reading the Gemara. Tosin Yuman Pei Aleph and Mar Aleph, they have a different answer. They give an Ukimta. Maybe here are the cases where the two Chatzei Revias are coming from a Nefil, from two Nephilim or two Nefils. And in that case, it wouldn't have combined with that Exeris Kasub. Again, a different Ukimta answer, also hard. If you look in Rashi, Rashi, I think, very clearly did not learn like Tosis. He learned like the Peshuto Shel Gemara. Nafsho is Hainu Dam Dikri Nefesh. Revias, he Shir Chiyos Shadam, Uvalav Hachi Lo Ikri Meis, Achi Yebo Shir Misa. Shtei Nefasho, says Rashi. Mashma mishnei bnei adam, right? You're learning from the pasuk. Mashma from the pasuk. Nafshos meis. Nafshos mashma shnei bnei adam. V'kasav, and the pasuk says meis. Kedei misa hain revius. So you see from there, zemefundas is Rabbi Akiva, that you have two chatzei revius from two meisim combines into one revius for tumas meis. Not like Tosus. Simple pshat in the Gemara. Elamai Tosus. Here, that's why Rashi is not learning Tosus. Fine. Simple. Elamai, it is hard what Tosus picked up on. It is hard. Why is it that it's not obvious that two Chatzi Revius of Dam from two different Mason does combine? 2 + 2 does equal 4, so why wouldn't it be true here? So Elamai, I think if you read Rashi carefully, you see that he had a Mahalach over here. You see he had a Mahalach over here. If you look at Rashi, Dibra Maskel Revius, Rashi says an interesting line. Revius, he shir chiyuso shel Adam. The shir of Revius of Dam is shir chiyuso shel Adam. That's the measurement, that's the amount of life force in a person. The Revius Adam is the life force of a person. There's a limit for that, but that's what Rashi quotes over here. Now, what do you see from that? Maybe you see from Rashi like this. Sometimes you have shirim that are quantitative. There's a certain amount of blood, this is what I would have thought, there's a certain amount of blood that's metame. Rashi is saying the shir Revius is not quantitative. It's not a shir in kamus, it's a shir in echus, it's qualitative. Meaning, it's not that four, the number four of Revius. Sorry, no, sorry. The revius, whatever, you know what I'm saying. The revius is the quantity of blood which is necessary to be metame. That's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi is saying the quantity of revius is representative of the quality of life of this person who's the corpse that's lying on the floor. It's a shir be'echus. It's a qualitative shir. A revius of dam is representative of the nefesh ha'adam. If that's true, that it's a qualitative shir, and we later saw that some of the Achram do point this out. They're answering a different question entirely, something in a Ravid elsewhere. But if you do see that's the shir, then maybe that's the pshat, according to Rashi and our Gemara. If Revius of Dam is a quantitative shir, so 2 plus 2 equals 4. If I have half a Revius here, half a Revius here, and they come together and they make a Mishpacha, so obviously it's a Revius of Dam. 2 plus 2 equals 4, right? But Mashal Ma'adar Domet, if I want to make a blood transfusion, so it's not blood plus blood equals this guy's going to live. You got to make sure it's the right blood type, or else the body's going to reject it. Blood of Revius of Dam is a qualitative shear. It's not just blood plus blood equals more blood. It has to be matched up perfectly. Why? Because the Revius, the shear Revius, is a shear in Nefesh HaAdam. It's a shear Chiyuso Shel Adam. Zakt Rashi, if you just had a Revius of Dam from Reuven and a Revius of Dam from Levi, and they were sitting, half a Revius of each, sorry, and they were sitting on separate sides of the room, so those are two different Chiyus of Adams. Those are two different Chiyus. To put them together doesn't necessarily mesh. It doesn't necessarily shtaltzu. It doesn't fit together necessarily. It's not 2 plus 2 equals 4. It's half a life plus half a life equals no relationship with each other. Says Rashi, without exerts a kasev of Rabbi Akiva, of nafshos, we don't know that they could combine. Elamai, the Torah says, nafshos mace, multiple mesim, who come together to form half and half, that does equal whole. But in learning, you wouldn't have known that without Exeris Akustav, says Rashi. It's unlike half a kazayas of Nevela, and half a kazayas of Nevela equals full Nevela. But half a kazayas of Chias, and half a revius of Chias, and half a revius of Chias equals two half revius of Chias. So you don't know they combine. Elamai, the pasuk tells you they combine.
How does it work with the Rashi where he says, the lava if you like your meat? The next part of it sounds like when you have the full shear, he's called a mace. And maybe Rashi didn't have to say that the blood is a shame mace. If you had a chalak of two chalakim of a mace, two kazesim of a mace, it would be, it starved to each other.
Hold on, this is in the stage. Rashi is explaining one revius of dam from one person is sheer chiyus shel adam.
Yeah, I know, but But you're trying to say that because it's referring to chiyus shel adam, so you can't be mistaken with chiyus of adam.
It's a quality, not a quantity.
Right, exactly. But then Rashi says, being in the same stage, Rashi says that it's called the mace. That dam, the sheer chiyus shel adam, would be called the mace if you reach the appropriate sheer. And look, that's why it's tummy. It has a bit of a mace.
Again, but this is all Minei Ubei. Rashi is explaining Nafshos Hainu Dam Ikri Nefesh. Revius, just Rashi's put on your what are they called? Blinders? Just focus on Revius. The sheer Revius, you have one person in the room, he drops dead, and blood seeps out of him. So a Revius of his blood is sheer Chiyus HaShel Adam. Says Rashi, that means that if you have a Revius of his blood, he's called a mace. Or the blood is referred to as mace, the same way the person is mace.
Right,
because his life force left him.
So I'm just asking, right? I mean, if you were saying that the reason why they can't have mitzvah is because the pshat in Revius is a qualitative pshat that it's defined by being chiyus shel mace, and you can't have mitzvah at the face of a mace. It's not about shiurim per se. It's about the fact that it's represented as chiyus shel mace. But, so why is it ultimately tameh? Meaning it's not because chiyusa, no one told us that chiyusa shomei is tame. Why is the chiyus shomei is tame? Because it's mace. Because it is, I mean, it has a din mace, it's thicker mace when it reaches that shear. But I'm wondering if it's the reason why ultimately it's tame because it's ikrei mace. So if you had two chalakim, if you had two kizesim of a maid, two chati kizesim of a mace, we know they would have been able to be mitzvahed.
Why would they have been able to mitzvahed?
Also, if you took chati kizesim of a mace,
yeah,
they would have been able to be mitzvahed. So if the word is, if the reason that the sheer chiyus is tameh,
yeah. So I think I am answering that. I'm saying Rashi is only saying it's a mace v'chiyah gavna. You're talking about one full revius. We are like you said before was not accurate. We're not talking about shirim. We are talking about shirim. Some shirim are qualitative. Some shirim are quantitative.
Yeah,
so
sheer quantitative ones, but yeah.
What?
When I say sheer,
I know, right. So I'm saying, but that's not the, I mean, this is a sheer. So we're just saying, what does this sheer represent? This sheer represents a quality of Nefesh HaAdam. So when you have a regular case of Revi'ez Dam from one mace, it represents the quality of Nefesh HaAdam having left, which means it's a mace. Or the blood is a mace also. If you have two different mesim or half mesim, what we're pointing out is that they don't combine necessarily in Svara, they don't combine to one mace. It's the shear is still qualitative. Yeah, the shear is revius, but revius we're saying is revius of a mace.
Two half dead people, neither of them are dead.
That's sure.
In other words, neither of them are dead.
Yeah, and even if you put them in the same room, you don't have one full dead person
exactly.
Now. Right. So but the word mace is minei uvei in Rashi, and then you can't be mistari of them in Sara.
Also, just to clarify that this is saying that it's not the physical material of the blood that's metame, it's the nefesh aspect of the blood that is metame as well, right?
Are you quoting from your Gurayach, Russo? What are you...
No, sorry. No. I'm saying like...
Yeah, what are you getting at?
You're saying that if it's a qualitative shear, that means that it's not just an amount of physical matter, it's the almost like the spiritual...
What it represents, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, what it represents, yeah. Just to clarify.
I think, yes. I don't know what the difference is in that formulation, but yes. What?
That's always has to be true.
It is always true, and there are we have interesting rayas for that. Rios of Engel has interesting rayas for that in the Gemara and Brachos about the Gemara about being mekafetz over the Arone Mesim to go greet the Malchei Akum, Malchei Yisrael. What's the Gemara there about?
Afilu Malchei.
Afilu Malchei Akum, right? So there the Gemara assumes, or whatever, Rios of Engel talks about the fact that even when you jump over the mesim, the toma is considered a kolda parish meruba parish, because he quotes a sifri zuta that the tumas mace is not from the body of the mace. The tumas mace is from the, I don't know how to say it, the spirit that leaves the mace. Is that the right way to say it? The spirit that emanates from the mace, and it's always a kolda parish meruba parish from the mace, the tuma. I don't know what the words mean, but I'm saying we are assuming it's not a, and maybe you should also the Rambam in Mikvahos also, meaning that the Tumah Tahara is not about being dirty and clean, it's about some metaphysical state, some spiritual state. But yeah, Mistama, what you said is correct. There was something in Pesachim that is also, I just forgot how it, Rabbi was into it. That's what we told him, the Sifri Zuta. I forgot what it was about. But yeah, that's probably a pshat. I don't know what to do with it, but yeah. Okay, that's the shtickle I want to say over here, that maybe the pshat in Rashi and therefore in the Gemara is that in Svara you wouldn't have had a tziruf between Tulchatze Revi'ez Dam. Elamai, okay, because there's a concept that you do have it. What does that say about the Chachamim who disagree and say you need a mi'at? I don't know. Maybe they think once you learn Tumas Dam, Rashi thinks Tumas Dam is a separate sugya from Tumas Meis. So Chiddush Akra, and then it could have this different din of Shir Revi'ez being Shir Chiyas. Maybe the Chachamim think that once we learn Tumas Dam is a thing, Chiddush Akra of Tumas Dam, so it takes on the dinim of regular Tumas Meis. I don't know what the Chum pushed back. I don't know what the sheet in the Chum is, but obviously something along those lines. Okay, I had something to say on Tosan Dav Dalam Beis, but I'm not going to go over more, so we will stop here. And Bli Neder Mitzvah will pick up moving forward with Dav Hey Wednesday. The Olam's up to the end of Dav Dalam and Dav Hey. So okay, we'll go to Dav Hey Mitzvah Bli Neder.